and Joseph, both of them sons of Jacob. Judah, we heard from last two sermons, Judah was transformed by God. He started off bad, but eventually he was transformed. And later on, he bears the honor to be the ancestors of the Messianic line. Jesus Christ came through as descendants of Judah. While Joseph, God used Joseph to preserve the Israelites' family. In fact, God used Joseph to actually rescue the world from starvation. And eventually, Joseph became the prime minister of Egypt. Both Judah and Joseph's story is amazing. Who wants to be Joseph? Well, a lot of people maybe say, okay, I want to be Joseph. But you see, if you want to be Joseph, you have to suffer a lot. Joseph's rise to power followed a very rugged path. Remember, imagine Joseph, you know, he was started off, have to be betrayed. He was betrayed by his own brothers and sold as a slave to a foreign land. How many of you would like to experience that? I don't think anyone would love that. And today, we see that Joseph was actually being punished for something that he did right. He was doing right, but he was punished eventually. Today's passage about Joseph talk about how he was wrongly accused. In today's passage, the narrator, the storyteller, gets right to the point right from the beginning by informing the readers that the Lord was with Joseph. God is with Joseph, not only in Canaan, but also in a foreign land. He is the God of the entire world. The Lord was with Joseph, and Joseph was faithful to God. This relationship sustains many difficult situations. In Joseph's life, he has experienced a lot of injustice, but his faith to God was unwavering, and God was faithful to Joseph, and he prospered. Hence, Joseph can rise again and again. He was rise again, and he got defeated in humiliation, and he rise again, right? Because of this mutual relationship, the commitment, Joseph committed to God, and God commit to Joseph. In today's episode, Joseph suffered for being right by refusing the sexual advance of his master's wife. Yet because of this injustice, Joseph was thrown into a jail and had the opportunity to know two important officials in Pharaoh's court. And that is another story. Today's episode also have given us valuable lesson in resisting temptation, in particular, sexual temptation. In verse 2-6, we saw that all is going well for Joseph because of God's presence. Verse 2 says, the Lord was with Joseph and he prospered. and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. It was so good that because God is blessing Joseph, even Potiphar, his master, took notice, and he entrusted everything to Joseph. So it's not too bad for as a slave. He become actually the head servant of Potiphar. And the scripture says the blessings of the Lord was on everything that Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So in other words, everything Joseph touched on behalf of Potiphar, God blesses abundantly, both inside and outside. And then towards the end of verse 6, says, Joseph was well-built and handsome. In the Bible, rarely, not too often, the Bible describes the appearance of a person. Yet, but here, it is important because this is the reason why his master's wife took notice of him. And his master have very aggressively asked for sexual favor. And she spoke very direct. He says, come to bed with me. In the original Hebrew language, actually, this phrase is two words. Sounds like zibba imi, two words. Just, it kind of present is such a very brutish lust. Zibba imi, come to bed with me. In verse 8, we notice that the master's wife says, say two words, you know. But in verse 8, in contrast, Joseph have a pretty long, relatively long response. Joseph's refusal and his lengthy speech contrast with the mistress' direct request. His refusal, though spontaneous, is well thought of. Hence, this is the first principle for us to learn in resisting temptation. And it is this: be prepared. You see, Joseph had well thought of the danger that he's being faced. He probably be aware of his mistress, the master's wife's sexual advances and interest on him. And he have already thought of a response. Joseph listed several reasons. Refusing, talking about he should not do it based on the trust and the gratitude that he have on his master. And he talked about it should not be right to violate his master's marital rights. And it is definitely not right to sin against God. It's therefore, even though as a slave, it is probably easier for Joseph to compromise and not get into trouble. But Joseph is prepared. He have a well-thought reasoning of why he need to refuse. And that is a lesson for all of us. Before you go to a date, before you go to a party, we have to well thought of God's boundary. We have to clarify, be confirmed about our value system. What is considered right or wrong in accordance to the Bible? Be prepared. Be ready. Well, think about your why you should do something and why you should not. And not just based on your emotion at that moment. Joseph was well prepared. When his master's wife made the sexual demand, he responded in accordance to his well-established value system and refused. For some of us, maybe at school, have you thought about what would you say when your friend offers you a cigarette or offers you some type of new drugs, some exciting pills that will give you high, or alcohol? These are the things that just don't let your instincts to respond. Don't let your emotion take control in how you respond. The first principle that we need to learn from Joseph is be prepared. Secondly, Joseph says, how then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? Joseph's strength in resisting temptation is because of his fear of God. He acknowledged the presence of God, even though at that time in the household, nobody was around. Maybe the master's wife already sent all the servants away. Joseph knows that even though nobody is around, God is present. He acknowledged God's presence. Today, we have an epidemic of internet pornography. Surveys after surveys says over 60% of males admits that they have watched pornographic images at least once a week. And there's reason for that. Because internet pornography, you can do all of this in the privacy of your own home. You do not need to go to any bookstores. You do not need to go to an adult stores. You can do everything in the privacy of your own home. Focus on family. Many times have talked about the addiction of pornography in the family relationship. We talk about the addiction will get one's lustful desires deeper and deeper. It is not a victimless crime, or it is not something entertainment, harmless entertainment, but rather it is some addiction that can keep a person going deeper and deeper, like drinking salt water to relieve thirst. And the only remedy for all this is to recognize that God is watching you. Fear God. Pray that the Holy Spirit, who is with you, will give you strength to overcome the sinful nature. Joseph says, how could I do such a thing and sin against God? Even though the room have only Potiphar's wife and Joseph alone. Joseph recognized by doing this inappropriate sexual thing is a sin against God. Romans 6, 11 to 14. In Romans 6, 11 verse says, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its sinful desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. Second principle of overcoming temptation is to recognize God is present and we do not want to sin against God. And the third principle of resisting temptation is in verse 10. And those who spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. The master's wife continued to try to wear Joseph down day after day. And Joseph refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. In the Bible, we know there's another famous who are not really that resilient towards a temptation is Samson. Remember, Samson is the one that who his wife just nagged him a few times, and Samson give in. But Joseph refused, even though the master's wife nagged him. And what is amazing, he says here, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. Here, it gives us the third principle to resist temptation is to stay away. Stay away. Stay away to avoid temptation. Joseph stayed away from his master's wife. Later on, in the next sentence, he says, one day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. The Bible writer specifically talked about Joseph had no choice. He had to go inside the house to attend to his duties. And why there are none of the household servants, other servants with her, in the house, we don't know. Maybe a good possibility is the master's wife already sent them away. But Joseph was diligent enough that he stayed away with the master's wife. When faced with temptation, the Bible does not teach us to fight it. Rather, is to flee from it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22 says, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Paul's counsel to Timothy is to flee the evil desires of youth. And stay with good company. Paul did not ask Timothy to just fight with willpower, with strength. Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 talk about temptation. Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon of the Mount, verses 27 to 30. Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, 'Do not commit adultery.' But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell." Here, Jesus talks about how to deal with lustful thoughts. And the solution is to resist right at the source, to cut it off. Jesus did not propose self-mutilation. Rather, Jesus is saying that if some part of you causes you to sin, you cut that part right from the source. If it is the eye, Jesus says, gouge it out. If it is the hand, cut it off. It is not to physically mutilate your body, but to cut off whatever temptation right at the source. If you are an alcoholic and you have to pass by an alcohol store on the way back to work and back from work, you may have to pick another route to go back to home. If you are impulsive shoppers, you go to shopping mall. Don't go to shopping mall then. Don't just for nothing. If you don't have anything to do, don't go to shopping mall. And if it is internet pornography, always set your computer browsing in common areas. Don't take your computer, your laptop, into your private room. For I know that some parents have a rule at the house is to cut off the power of the internet modem after 12 o'clock midnight. Think of what occasion that you are most likely in the past yield to temptation, and think of a way to avoid it. Was that something that when you are tired, you are most likely to yield to temptation? Or was that because of anger? If that is the case, don't ever turn on your computer when you feel anger. So what happened to Joseph? Unfortunately for Joseph, he was falsely accused. He ran away from his master's wife. But he was falsely accused by her. There was no fair trial. He was thrown in jail. The Bible says Potiphar was burned with anger. It is kind of vague, isn't it? Who is Potiphar angry against? Notice the usual punishment for attempted rape by slave is capital punishment. But in this case, Potiphar chose a very mild, lighter jail imprisonment. Maybe this suggests that Potiphar did not altogether believe his wife. He probably knew the character of his wife. But nevertheless, the result is Joseph was wrongly accused, sent to a prison. But eventually, because of this imprisonment, Joseph get to know two important officials from Pharaoh. And through this connection, he eventually get a hearing from Pharaoh. So all this, the Bible writers talk about, even though Joseph was wrongly accused, God's hand is in control. God was with Joseph, and Joseph commit his faith and his loyalty to God. Joseph is a noble character. He is faithful to God. He insists of doing the right thing and even suffered for it. The question is, at the beginning, how many of you would like to be Joseph? Would you like to be Joseph, even doing right thing and even prepared to suffer for it? Joseph exemplified the person that is described in Psalm 1. And I am going to read Psalm 1 to close off this sermon. If you have the Bible, please turn with me together with Psalm 1. Let's talk about a person, and I wish this is the person that we desire to be. It says, I want to be like this person. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaves does not wither. Whatever he does, prosper. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us Joseph. You used this noble person to achieve your salvation. And you also give us an example for us to follow, how he resists temptation. And may your Holy Spirit help all of us to learn, to model after Joseph, so that our life may be the pathway, may to glorify your name and make us to be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.